Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Hey guys, I'm back. I don't know why I said it like that. I have a lot to tell you about personally. Of course, I'm going to talk about my business and life and all of those things. But this last couple weeks, I have had just not the best luck. I was sick, and I don't really talk about this, but I'm not a person that goes, I don't really talk about being sick, like whatever, we all get sick, fine. But I'm not one of those people that rushes to the doctor's office. I'm not that person. I know I'm not. I don't. So I was sick for about 9 days before I finally said uncle and went to the emergency or went to urgent care and realized that I had a sinus infection and bronchitis. And that is part of my reasoning for feeling like shit for 10 days. And if you've ever had bronchitis, again, I'm not normally a person that talks about ailments, but I had it a long time ago, right before I had Charlotte, and they told me once you get bronchitis, you will always be susceptible to getting it again. And they really are not lying, okay? Because every time I get a cold that's worse than just like the normal cold, I get this like bronchitis cough that literally feels like you worked out for like 2 hours every single day. Like it is miserably terrible on top of a sinus infection and all this shit, right? So I was struggling. I was just like kind of worn down, whatever. And then I went, they gave me antibiotics. They gave me all this stuff, high five, everybody's good, life is good. So finally I went on a Sunday, the following Thursday, I realized, oh my gosh, this cough is like gone. It's good. Life is so good. I feel like me again. I don't feel like I did 427 crunches every hour. And last Friday, I'm driving to work in Encino. And I'm on the 405 freeway, which if you've listened to me, which I know you have because you're all my number one fans, you know, we don't like traffic. I don't like drivers. I don't like traffic. The 405, all the freeways suck ass, but the 405 is just always terrible. I'm at the 405 right before the 101 split. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but I promise you, this is not crazy. There was a movie a long time ago when I was like in high school, maybe it was called Final Destination. Okay. And it was all these different scenarios. I don't even remember, but I remember there being like, you know, the 18 wheeler that was carrying like logs and then the car behind it. And then something snapped and all the logs came in and hit the car. And you were like, oh my God. And then they died, whatever. It was like urban legend or whatever bullshit the movie was about. But I just remember these certain scenarios and you'd always be like, oh, that's a Final Destination truck or, oh, that's a, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there and I come to a complete stop. And it felt like 5-10 seconds. It was probably less. I looked at the truck in front of me and I thought, this is a Final Destination truck. It was some jimmy-rigged. It looked like maybe it carried pallets or something. And it had those like pokey things when you're like have pallets that like slide into it. So there's like these pokey things sticking out with like cinder blocks under it. And I thought to myself when I came to a complete stop, again, this is longer in your head because I'm telling the story. This was probably like a 3-second thought, but I thought, I hope I'd never rear-end this guy. And literally as I'm thinking that, I get fucking rear-ended. Hey guys, I had to jump in right now. We're going to edit out the segment about the car accident. Due to legal reasons, I can't talk about it right now. But I'm going to bring you back into the 90s and I'm going to talk about 90210 real quick or any show that you loved. And I just happened to love 90210 at the time. And you had to wait like a whole summer and sometimes even like 3.5 months to watch it on Fox. I'm telling you, they made you wait. There was no secrets out. You didn't know what was going to happen. There was nothing. And so here's the deal. You guys are all going to be so patient and you're going to wait. And this story is going to be amazing when I can talk about it. But the rest of the show is great. So enjoy. What a crazy, crazy weekend. I wanted to also tell you guys that Charlotte has... She loves basketball, and this year they decided to do it. So it's normally at the end of the year, and this year they decided to do it. So she finished basketball like the first couple days of May, and then she started school in August, and I think like 2 weeks later, basketball was starting. They decided to do it in the beginning. I think because of some of the other sports, at least it's indoors, and they were doing outdoor sports in like September, which is typically still hot. But her team, she's been so lucky. Her team went to the championship. She really has never really touched the basketball ever, but she runs, and she's definitely tried more this year. And the last couple of games, she did really good for her. I was very proud of her, but they won the championship on Thursday night, and that was really exciting. And she got to go with her bestie, Darla, which if you guys all have listened to today's episode with Marlene, Dr. Marlene Kaluuya, and they took her to Yosemite. So she got to hang out for like 3 days up there and live her best life. And I laid in bed going, my back hurts, and I felt 1,000 years old. But everybody's good. All is fine. Charlotte won a championship. Didn't really make a basket, but she touched the ball. That's all that's important. She's touching the ball. Before the first two seasons, never not one time did she touch the ball. She will hustle. She will run, but never touch the ball. So that is kind of the story on that and my life this last couple weeks. You know, we're starting video on the podcast now, which is very exciting. So it's different when you're by yourself talking than when you have a guest. But I hope you enjoy seeing me and my face and that I brushed my hair today. I'm just kidding. I always brush my hair. But I want to talk a little bit about organizing because I am flipping this. You know, we talk a little personal and then now I'm going to talk a little bit about organizing. And obviously, you guys know how to find me if you ever know anybody or whatever with organizing services. But there's a couple things that were very interesting that I've learned in my journey of this path I'm on with my own business and organizing people's homes and going into their lives, really going into their lives, is you're reaching out to me for a reason. And we've talked about this. Maybe you've hit a threshold. Maybe you just have like, you can't focus on where to begin. You go into a room and it is crazy and it's become crazy because it's that room we close the door on or we just shove the shit and we don't know what to do with it or we try to organize it and we organize 20% and then we don't do it ever again and then it looks like shit again. And, you know, it's fine. And that's what I'm here for. I don't walk in there. I'm never overwhelmed when I walk in. I just think, how can I fix this? How can I do this? But it's interesting. I have this newer client right now who's amazing and she's awesome. But one of the things is I noticed as I've been helping her the past few days is, and I guess I'm saying this to not toot my own horn, but kind of is I really do try to give every single thing in your house a place, even if it's down to a pepper shaker that you like to leave on the stove or whatever it is, but it has a home. Because even though I can't control what you do when I'm not there, at least you know there was a place designated for it. If you do clean up and you finally are like, let me put this stuff away, I have a few minutes or whatever the situation is. So this client, she had hired an organizer and a team of organizers. And what that looks like, I don't know. I'm guessing more than two people and herself. Maybe it was more. But it was at least two or three people. So I've been helping her. And the first project, she was kind of doing a test. She wanted me to do this playroom, which was just absolute chaos. Like if I was a kid and I went in there, I'd be like, I don't even know what to play with. I'm going to go not. You could barely walk in there. There were these brown paper bags, like grocery bags, like Amazon, you know, Amazon Fresh, like grocery bags. And on them, it was this like blue tape, like painter's tape. And it would say like, possibly to be donated, or maybe sort and decide, or to go through. And they're in these like trash bags. And let's say at least, or these grocery bags, they're at least halfway full. And it's all this little shit. It's not big shit. It's not like four bags of shoes. And you're like, okay, I can go through these real quick. No, we're talking about that little tedious tchotchke crap that you have in a playroom. And I was like, what are all these bags? I asked the house manager. I said, what are all these bags with this blue tape that it's just sitting here? And I don't know how long it's been sitting there. It could have been a day. It could have been, you know, 5 months. I have no idea. And she's like, oh, that was from the previous organizers that came. And I was like, okay. So still I was trying to feel it out. I'm like, all right, maybe they just had come. I had no idea. Maybe they didn't get to, you know, to go through, possibly donate. Oh, another thing was relocate to another room, but it was all in this playroom. And so in my head, I'm like, I'm not understanding what these bags are for. But again, I'm still trying to figure it out. And I don't want to talk poorly about other organizers. It's not, my way isn't the best way. I do the best that I can. And I feel that I'm very good at what I do. I'm very detailed. So when you go into somebody else's work, you're kind of like trying to catch up. So I'm like, I don't want to judge. I don't want to say anything. But I'm thinking, this seems weird that there's like 10 of these bags just in the middle of this chaotic floor. I mean, you forget the closet that was, you know, jam-packed with toys and toys that have never been opened, hundreds of toys that had never been opened, hundreds, and bins and shit, all of that. Okay, forget all of that. I'm just like, well, I don't really understand why these bags are still here. So I do the playroom. It takes me about, I don't know, I want to say like maybe about 8 or 10 hours total. I did it in a 2-day kind of split. And I, so now I'm going to go up. They loved it. The husband loved it. She loved it. The daughter loved it. The daughter, who is the younger one, who actually plays a little bit more with the actual, you know, Barbies and American Girl dolls and all that. Okay. So everybody's happy. She was able to get her stuff. I mean, I got rid of probably 40 bags of toys in that room, maybe 35 to 40 bags. I'm not exaggerating. One iota, not one iota. I don't even know what an iota is, but I'm not exaggerating. So she has me, she's like, I want to do my closet next. Now her closet is huge. It's the size of some people's houses or apartments, if you will, apartments. And again, I see this blue tape everywhere on these baskets. There's shit everywhere in this closet. I mean, stuff's hung, don't get me wrong, but there's this blue painter's tape. And I'm thinking, and some of the stuff was actually labeled with a really nice, like they had custom labels made, you know, they definitely did it in a really nice way. Some of the stuff, there's all this blue painter's tape with like, they wrote with a Sharpie. So I asked actually her, I'm like, Jen, what's going on with all this blue tape? And she's like, I don't really know, but everything was a task on the blue tape to go through, to do this, to do that. Like, and it's not like one pile. This is like tons of piles or bins. They put the stuff in bins and then put it up on the shelf, but it said to go through, or it was left on the ground. And I'm like, how are you, when are you, what? Like, I finally was kind of like, I don't understand. And I realized they'd never asked her. And she did, I guess she did purge stuff, or maybe the house manager helped. I don't know. But there was a purging. They got rid of stuff, and there's obviously a ton of stuff. It's a massive house. They, you know, they can buy and do whatever, and that's fine. But I'm like, again, I don't want to say anything. I'm trying not to say anything bad, but I'm just like, I don't understand what these organizers did. And she's like, I don't even know. She's like, it was just a lot of homework for me. And she, you know, that's not, she's never home ever. She's super, super busy with her kids' stuff. She's like the president of the the school parent association thing, all of that, blah, blah, blah. So I go through and I see that, and I'm just like, this is like double work. Like, I don't understand. So yesterday I started in her garage. So I've been helping her for about 3 weeks now, and I'm almost, you know, maybe four days a week so far, just to kind of tackle this and just be done before the holidays. And I went in her garage, and I mean, this garage is massive. It's like a 3-car garage, no cars, just all stuff. And hundreds of little bins. Some of them are bigger. Some of them are like shoebox size, all of them with this blue fucking tape on it. And I was like, all right, Jenny, here it is. I didn't want to say anything, but I'm going to say, like, one of them was labeled stuff on counter, Jenny. And it's like they went up to the counter, put their arm out, swept it into a bin, and labeled it with this tape. And now it just sat there with a lid on it, just sat on this table. There was probably 75 of those shoebox size ones like that. So I'm like, Jenny, who's sorting this? Who ever did? No one ever finished. No one ever finished, because now you have 75 bins of stuff in the garage to go through. And she's like, I don't know. I don't know why. And I said, this makes no sense. Like, they just walked up to a table, and because it was random stuff. This was not any kind of rhyme or reason. This was like they swept off the area, put it in a bin, and put painting tape on it or whatever. And I'm like, Jenny, I really feel in my heart, and I don't mean this, I don't know who you used, I don't know, but I really felt like you kind of got gypped. Like, you kind of maybe spent, I don't know any of the pricing. I don't care. None of my business. But I'm like, this is a lot of work for somebody who isn't even home. I mean, for me to catch her to actually purge stuff that first like week and a half, I was doing like 10-minute intervals. Like she would give me 10 minutes before she was on a phone call or 10 minutes before she was running out the door. And I would just try to cram as much as I can because certain things I can do on my own. Food, pantry, expired stuff, you know, even some skincare, bath products. But some of the stuff I don't know, you know? And so I was like, this is so crazy. And you have to think of minds of when you're overwhelmed and you're, you know, maybe on the, you know, a little ADHD or whatever, which I think everybody has to, you know, some degree, all of the different things. Like you can't just leave these piles. So not only is the garage a shit storm, but now you've touched it. You've gone in there, you've put it in bins. You took the time to put it in a bin. You took the time to write on it with a, you know, on the painter's tape, blue bin, writing that what the homework is. And I'm like, who's touching this? No one's touching this. So it sat there, and come to find out, they had come like maybe 4 or 5 months before. So not only did they not get to everything, I mean, they got to a lot of stuff it looked like because a lot of the stuff had the blue tape on it. So I know that they look, but now she's paying someone else, which I'm very fortunate that it seems like they like my work and I'm very, very pleased with that. But I'm like, you're leaving homework for people that don't have the bandwidth in their mind to focus on that. Like some clients will tell me, like they'll open a drawer, and I'm going to use a junk drawer as an example. Open up a junk drawer that's been the junk drawer for 8 years and you can tell, right? It has everything down to like, you know, whatever, just nothing. And it's always in the kitchen and it's like, you know, ideally you'd have like your normal stuff, right? And then maybe like a screwdriver or a hammer, a small hammer or something in the junk drawer if it's big enough, because it's like something easy you might need, right? Okay, fine. But most of it's like tape and, you know, bullshit, fine. And they'll tell me they open up the drawer and they're like, I didn't even know where to begin with that. So I emptied it out and put it on the counter. And then I realized later I never got to it. So I had to put it back in like a grocery bag or put it back in the thing. So if you have people like that, which is fine. That's what I'm here for. I don't get overwhelmed when I go into people's houses. Absolutely not. There's never a time where I think I cannot do this. There's been only one situation where I was like, I wish I would have known the information because I probably wouldn't have done this by myself. But I've never said I cannot do this place. I compartmentalize, I plan, I have ideas, I do all of that. People that are hiring you, their list of stuff to do is probably 30 deep and then organizes at the bottom in time. So you're trying to just feed your children, feed yourself, go to work, do all the school stuff, help with homework, help with life, help around the house, feed the dogs, whatever. Organizing is down there. To me, it's the most important thing because as I've said before, a reflection of your garage, a reflection of your bathroom, a reflection of all these areas that are really chaotic is also a reflection of what's going on in your mind. And you don't know where to start. So you can't get that out of your mind because you never have touched it. So they left this sea of stuff for her to do. Who they thought was going to do it, I don't know. Maybe the house manager who's also doing a million other things. So now it's just more piles of stuff that you don't even know what it is. And it's been out there for 6 months or whatever. And so I was just saying to her, I'm like, listen, you liked them and whatever. But I'm just saying is this was really, I don't like to touch things twice. I know sometimes you have to, but 3 times, 4 times to me is like, just no. Who knows how many times those bins have been moved from that area in the garage just to make room for other shit in the garage. And it's all shit you haven't even thought about for 6 months. So now we're going to take the time to go through it. And I really say, like, give most people need to have the finality of it because they're not going to do the homework. There's some things that they might need to, maybe some certain special paperwork or, you know, important documents, you know, whatever. Maybe there's things they don't want me to touch and see. You know, that's fine. Like maybe their own jewelry or something like that. I don't know. Mostly it's usually paperwork or something where they have to wait for the husband because it's maybe some of his stuff to go through. But I always leave it always has a place. And even if it's not 100% to my standards or my level, that first day, I'm going to keep coming back and finish. I will go back and make it 100%, but at least it had a place when I leave. Because what's the point to have your like all these bins, she's never going through that stuff. And I see this a lot. Like I see, you know, oh, they left and they, you know, we were done and then they left me some homework. No one's doing it. And it's, that's why the people need those extra set of hands. That's why they reach out to organizers all over the place. It's not just me. You know, you need help. You have great, there are great organizers out there. And I'm not saying that they weren't great, but I'm like, that just added chaos to an already kind of chaotic, you know, just mind, house, tangible day-to-day stuff. They could never find anything. You know, it was all this shit was on the ground. And, you know, her daughters are like competitive dancers going to like different countries and stuff. Like they need to have their stuff squared away, not a checkoff list of what to go through. They don't have time for that. So, that's kind of like my tip and just something that I guess I didn't realize, most organizers, I would say majority of the organizers out there, they do fantastic jobs. And but you have to give the people, you know, you can't create more work for them because they're hiring you or hiring me to come in and make their life easier, a little bit easier in some aspects. Am I going to change the world? No, but I can make your house a home again, right? And I can help relieve some of that anxiety and maybe those feelings of overwhelm because something that would have taken them 2 days, I'm doing it in, you know, 30 minutes because I have no emotion when I go into your house. I want to help you. I want it to look amazing. I want you to feel when somebody says, my daughter was playing, she sent me a picture of her daughter playing in the playroom. Of the stuff that I had moved in the floor. You could see the floor. We vacuumed. I moved a few things, got some things out. Like it was great, right? That made me happy. She didn't even have to say anything. That is a picture telling me her daughter liked the playroom without her daughter telling me she liked the playroom. The playroom. So you know, just kind of remember that our chaos in our mind. Try to just kind of feel like if you're asking me, yes, I find a spot for everything. But if you're not local and you do go to a different organizer, which is okay, just, you know, make sure that, you know, one of the things is everything has a place. So when you leave, you know, so that you're not wasting time and it doesn't create more work for you. And she's paid. I don't know what she paid, but she paid a lot of money. If she had a team of people come in, it's a lot of money. And it doesn't matter if she has it or not. It's your time. It's your money. And as an organizer, I take pride in what I do. And I know that I want it to be the best it can be for every single person. Now, it might be different. They might say, give me one pile and I'll tackle it. And they do. They will. What's my homework, Jennifer? And I'll give them a couple things that maybe is a little more tedious for my time in terms of like putting socks together. Do I want to do that? I don't, but I will because I can go do five other things in the time. And they're like, oh, I'll do it when I'm watching TV. Who cares? Okay, fine. That's a different story. But I really try to make everything useful for you when you're trusting me to be in your home and you're trusting me to go through your stuff and you're trusting me to, you know, kind of tell it how it is and, you know, help guide you, get rid of stuff, you know, stuff you don't need. We don't need this. We don't need this. And it's not because people think organizers just come in and tell you to throw everything away, and that's not true at all. You know, there are situations where I'm like, okay, we need to have to come to Jesus moment here. You know, you have 50 pounds of shit in a 2 pound bag, so we are screwed. So we're gonna have to pare it down, and I make it jokey, and I make it fun, and I make it, you know, I kind of razz, you know, a little bit when I can, you know, feel the vibe that it's okay. But I'm not going in there with like a flamethrower and like gasoline and just like, here, we're just gonna burn this shit down. I want to have you to have a place. I will label everything. I will do all that because it's just better for your own well being. And the chaos of day-to-day life and everything is chaotic and everything is rushed. We're always running to go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And what I can do is just help you kind of plant your feet a little bit. I can't control the schedule, but I can control your home and or your office and make it a little bit easier for you. So with that being said, another thing I wanted to talk about is in the organizing world, clothes. Now, the reason I say this, I can gauge pretty well on a normal home closet situation or a normal bedroom situation, kitchen. I can kind of gauge my time and depending on how unorganized it is. This one was, they've already put Band-Aids over everything. Now I have to go in and correct it. So it did take a little longer than I wanted. I wanted it to be done a little faster, but we definitely had to pare down because, I mean, we love clothes. Clothes are, for women, clothes are a part of just like feeling special. Not for everybody. Some people can throw on jeans and a t-shirt and they're fine. But some people have an event coming up. They will think about it 2 months before. They will try on 75 things. They'll buy 75 things online and then have to return them, create more work for you to do outside of your normal. And that's okay. It's okay to feel good. You feel good when you get a new outfit. You feel good when you have shoes and you find the perfect outfit for the perfect day. Even though you may have 9,000 pieces of clothes, but realistically, try to think about it and just think about what you have. It doesn't even have to be clothes. It could be anything. Just think about what you have and think about why do you need all of that stuff? Why do you need 40 black thin turtlenecks? Because you like to layer. Okay. Well, could you do it with 5? I mean, like, are you wearing turtlenecks all the time? Maybe not. You know, shoes, we love shoes. Shoes are fun. They complete an outfit. Sometimes you just get fun shoes because you can. Sometimes women get shoes because they were on sale or they look cute and you're only going to wear them once, or you want to take a picture in those shoes, and then you take them off because they hurt your fucking feet so bad, but you paid money for them, but your feet are all pinched up and you got blisters, but you didn't care because you got a picture in that outfit with those shoes, and that's fine. But when you're allocated space, I can do some serious miracles when it comes to finding, you know, home for everything. But if you have 9,000 pairs of shoes and only a spot for 200 pairs of shoes, we have to make some decisions. And just think about, like, again, it's kind of clutter for your mind. Like, don't give yourself so many options if you can. Do we need 400 pairs of underwear? I don't think we do. We have 2 butt cheeks. We have, you know, 2 boobs. We don't need 400 bras and 700 pairs of underwear. Yes, women like to have extra underwear. If I go for an overnight trip, I usually pack 7 to 10 pairs of underwear. I just grab a handful and throw them in. Why? I don't know. Am I going to, like, I don't know what's going to happen that I need to change them that often, but it's just what I do. But also, you just kind of just make it make sense. Like, you don't need all of that because you walk up to a section and you're just going to be looking. You're going to be looking for what to wear, and you have so many options. When I'm helping somebody buy furniture, or if I'm helping somebody allocate space, you know, for they want to get furniture, maybe they're transitioning a kid's room from maybe toddler status to maybe more big girl, big boy status and get a bed. I try to show you items that have storage benefits, especially if the rooms are small, you know, maybe like drawers underneath and stuff. I don't give you many options to choose from. I plant the seed. I'll give you 2, maybe 3 options max. Here's a couple ideas I had for the room. Look, because anytime there's more than 2, there's always that thing. Well, I like the first 2, so I don't know. I don't know. And it's like, again, this isn't brain surgery, but I want to make it so you may not like the 2 that I got, but at least you have a starting point of what you need. And having so many options, I go to people's houses all the time and I see so many things. I mean, women across everyone's like, am I the worst? Do I have the most clothes? I mean, there's some people that have just so many clothes, I can't even believe it. I'm like, when are you wearing this? You have 2 butt cheeks. Why do you have 156 pairs of jeans? I don't understand. It's not my call, but let's see if we can pare it down a little bit and maybe give it to some people that don't have anything. And, you know, like, I've been helping this woman, and I said to her, you are not allowed to buy anything for like a month of clothes, or actually a year. But she looked at me like, yeah, right. And I'm like, maybe like a month. Like, stop buying. You don't need black leggings until your last breath of life. You don't need black socks until your last breath of life. Turtlenecks. I don't even wear turtlenecks because I don't like anything around my neck because I feel like I'm dying. I'm choking to death and dying because I'm claustrophobic. So to me, more than 1 turtleneck is plenty. But these are things that I just see. And so a lot of it is, yes, I want to talk to you about organizing rooms and tell you, but just kind of looking at the bigger picture, and I've really kind of dialed this in the last couple years, is just, it's just chaos for your mind. And I know that sounds kind of repetitive, but it is. It's always a list. It's always a to-do. It's always all this. And if we just kind of pare down a little bit, you have someone come in and do kind of a reset and just kind of get you back on track. you know, it just makes your life just a little bit easier. And that's what the goal is. You know, you go get your hair done, you use a gardener, you do all these things, you know, spend a little bit of money to get your anxiety level down or your feeling of overwhelmed or whatever, you know, try to get that down a little bit and kind of like a refresh, a start over, if you will. And that's what I kind of take away when I go to these, you know, go to people's houses. I love it. I come in there with the best attitude, even if I'm having a crappy day. I just look at, wow, how can I make this look better? How can I unpack your house and make it work for you? How can I do whatever? So just keep that in mind. You know, a lot of people have attachments to things. I never had attachments to things because when I was little, when I was growing up, my mom was a single mom. She was married. I have, you know, my dad, but he really wasn't in the picture. And she was pretty much a single mom. And we moved every year. We moved a different house, different school. And then we moved in, and we thankfully moved in when I was going to be, like, I was 8 years old, going to be nine. We moved in with my mom's brother, my uncle, and my cousin. And my Uncle Chuck, he said to my mom, I just want to get you back on your feet. And I don't ever remember having memories. I don't remember having stuff, tangible stuff when I was little up until I was like sixth, seventh, eighth grade. So my only memory boxes are like my mom has my kindergarten drawing that I did in kindergarten. She has like two things that I did from school. Two things, literally. I'm not exaggerating. I have clients who have six or seven bins of artwork for each kid. And then they go and they do the books. Now that's the thing to do is write the books, the photo books. They take picture of the art and then they make it into this, you know, you send them the art. There's all these different companies. You send them the kids' artwork and they make it into like a, you know, like a photo book, if you will. So, and those are like $400. So you're spending $400. That's fine. It's fine. But they're not making a page with 8,000 pictures, right? So they send what they didn't use back. And usually it's like they use 25 art pieces. Well, you have six bins. So it's like, now what are you going to do? And as we get older, and you'll see, you know, because I go to people's houses where the kids are now teenagers. Maybe I've been helping them for 6, 7 years. And now they're like juniors in high school. And they'll say, hey, do you want to carry your bin? I don't even care about any of this crap, mom. I don't care about any of it. We care as parents or as moms, we care. We feel because that's what it was back then. You kept everything. You kept it. You loved the idea that you had it. You kept every little, you know, movie stub. You kept every little wrapper of gum. You know, you probably kept whatever, a dead flower that some boy gave you when you guys went to prom or something. You kept that stuff and that's okay. I never had that. And I think that's what makes I seem like I'm, you know, emotionless. I'm not. I'm empathetic. I'm very empathetic. I just didn't have it. I have like two memory boxes and one of them's like all my yearbooks and it weighs 400,000 pounds. That's it. I don't. Now I do. Now I have memories, things that are important, but my memories are now Charlotte and it's all her stuff. And, you know, I let her keep some memories, but again, she, you know, she's not going to care later. I want the things that make David and I smile if she's not going to be home. We can look at those memories and remember her pajamas that she wore when she first crawled or that kind of thing. So I just don't have that. And there's people that just, they can't let go. They cannot let go. And it's kind of paralyzing. And there's like this, the excuse, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but the reasoning behind it maybe is a better word, is they're very emotionally attached. Or it was my uncles, my grandmas, my nanas, my, you know, my second cousin's friend's brother. He made this and I feel guilty. They gave me this sweater. I'm actually allergic to wool, but I don't want to get rid of this sweater. I'm like, take a picture of it or donate it because you're not wearing it. And you probably have pictures of your uncle wearing that sweater or your aunt. And that's more important than the sweater. You know, not in every case. I'm not telling you to get rid of everything in every case, but just kind of keep that stuff in mind. And I can't control emotional connections to stuff, but I see it paralyzes people and it causes a lot of tenseness in the home and tense situations. And, you know, I've seen divorces happen. I've seen husband and wives literally fighting almost to the point of violent fighting in front of me. And it's just like, it's just stuff. At the end of the day, it's just stuff. And I just try to make you find the best stuff that you can have and keep it and find a place for it. And then some of that secondary stuff that isn't as important or doesn't mean as much to you when it comes to the, you know, emotional connection, you just get rid of it. You give it to somebody who will appreciate it. A nightstand that was your, you know, your dad's, you know, well, okay, it was his when he was a kid. What does that mean? Because you weren't even alive when your dad was a kid. What does that, did that affect you? It's because it was his? Maybe, and maybe you can use it in another room, but just think about, like, what am I going to do with it? Is it just going to sit in my garage and use it as a, you know, like a table and put my crap on top of it and have, like, spiders lay babies and eggs and stuff all over it? You're not doing anything with it. So I want to help you get that stuff in your house if we can. But if not, you know, maybe just kind of try to let some of this stuff go. And I'm not claiming to be an expert on it. I've dealt with hundreds of clients. And, you know, out of those, you know, five or six in every group of 50 is very emotionally attached to stuff. Or maybe they grew up with nothing. They grew up with one pair of jeans, you know, one sweater, one pair of shoes, no shoelaces. That's how they grew up. So guess what? They have 200 pairs of jeans, 75,000 pairs of shoes, and 200 bags of shoelaces because they never. So that's a whole different, you know, story. But the end result is the same. Just, you know, I know that maybe you had it rough, but you don't now. And let's kind of just help your mind declutter in the ways that I can help you. Now, sometimes it might be bigger than me and you might have to actually go talk to somebody. But you could talk to me, too, because I feel like I'm a therapist at heart, which is also very, very fun. So I don't know where I was talking about. I don't know what I was saying about. I started with closets and just finding important things. But I'm not going to talk to you about doing a room today. But I was working in the garage, I told you yesterday, and it's probably going to be a 3-day project, I would say. And yesterday was 8 hours and I had a helper. So 16 hours of people, you know, someone touching the stuff. And it's probably another, you know, 1.5 more days, I think. And just going through. So they had these floor to ceiling cabinets. And I'm going back to the memories. They had floor to ceiling cabinets that were done before they had the house. But these are like the custom cabinets when you have. But their garage is pretty tall. So I'm just guessing here. It's 12 feet tall. I'm taking a guess. It might even be a little bit taller than that, but I'm going to say 12 feet just for argument's sake. Floor to ceiling on the left, on the right, cabinets. Most of them two doors with shelves, and then the ones at the very end are just a single cabinet. You know, one of them has like their brooms and stuff. Fine. So I go to the one side and I'm like, okay, this is great. This is great. Purge, you know, reset, whatever. I go to the other side thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to see what's over here that we can get rid of to kind of put some of this other stuff that's on the floor, find a home for it. It was 50% keepsakes. And on top of the shelves, there's a little bit of space, like enough for like a bin, maybe about 2 or 3 feet, maybe. The whole ledge is all keepsakes. And I'm like, well, first of all, your daughter's 8 years old and 12 years old. The 8-year-old had like 20 bins of keepsakes. And the 12-year-old had like 30 bins of keepsakes. And then the parents had keepsakes, which is fine. We all, memories, fine. But I'm like, what? Whoa, because this is prime real estate here. Like, these cabinets allow you to not have all the stuff on the floor. Apparently, at one point, half of the garage was a gym. I did see gym equipment there, but you couldn't see it because it was all other stuff, and that's fine. Then there was the other side of the garage that they had like a gymnastics bar and a mat, but there was so much shit. I said, oh, there's a gymnastics bar. She's like, yeah, we thought it'd be really good for dance and gymnastics, that this would be the area she does, but she's never been able to because there's so much stuff. So now I have to come up with a solution, which I'm not going to tell her to get rid of her keepsakes because I don't feel that she's in that mindset to do that. But I am going to suggest that we need to find an alternative to where to put those keepsakes because these cabinets are gold. I mean, literally, if you have custom cabinets in your garage, I mean, yeah, Amazon shelving is fine. It works fine. But these, you don't see it. It's neater. You know, obviously there's good, better, best. This is at the best level. Let me make it make sense and let's figure that out. So I've been kind of brainstorming this morning on what to do because I'm not going to tell her that she has to get rid of her keepsakes because she's not there at all. at all. But I need to figure out what to do, because now we're at a point where we got to start making decisions of what do we do with all the stuff you're keeping? I mean, some of it's like 10 bins of inflatables for the pool. 10 bins. That's a lot of bins for inflatables of a pool that right now is being under construction. Who knows? There's no water. It's all dirt. They're redoing it. So it's like maybe they're going to outgrow them by the time the pool's finished. I don't know. So these are just things that, you know, you think about, but also like you got into a house that has a custom garage. Like these are amazing. It looks amazing. It's not even like finky. This was good. Whoever had it before, I mean, as tall as you can get to the ceiling. And believe me, every one that we did yesterday was filled to the brim, labeled and everything. But we scaled down about, I don't know, maybe 40 bags yesterday, like 12 suitcases that were not being used. And I mean, just imagine how many suitcases you have when you get rid of 12. I don't know. I said, do you own a luggage store? Is that why we have so much luggage? Oh, no, I didn't know I had this. And oh, no, da, da. You know, and that's OK, but let's make it, you know, work for you. And that's what that's always my goal. So in that line, I'm going to say one more thing about mental clarity is you also, and I know I've said this before, but again, I see the patterns when I go into houses is we have to lead by example for our kids, because otherwise the cycle isn't going to break. And I'm not saying that you are expected to get out your label maker and every single thing you put in there, you're going to whip out the label maker and start doing it. No, but things that habits that you have, ways that you kind of just leave stuff, you know, you walk up the stairs, you have the shoes, you just take off the shoes and leave them there. Your kids are going to do that, especially when they're little. And of course, when they're little shoes, who cares? But as they get older, they're never going to break that cycle because they see it's okay in your house. They see it's okay to have trash. Like maybe your kids, like Charlotte is notorious for one of her chores is if she has snacks, you know, she has a snack drawer. She's allowed to go into that drawer anytime she wants. She doesn't have to ask permission. It's all the basics, goldfish, you know, bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. She has to throw away the wrappers and put the bowl. If she got goldfish, put it in the sink, not leave it there. Put her shoes away, put her socks away. Her new thing is to take her socks off and then shove them in the cushion of the chair she sits in. And I'll find like four or five pairs of socks. So I'm like, hey, you got to do this. But because I noticed that parents are doing this. They'll set their bag down wherever and that's it. They have trash at their nightstand, glasses of water, maybe cups of coffee they didn't finish. And that's okay. I'm not telling you, but if they see that it's okay to do it, then that's how the cycle doesn't break. And unfortunately, a lot of these behaviors I see in the kids that are a little bit older, you know, they're doing the exact same thing. They try on, you know, five dresses and they throw them on the floor because guess what? Mommy does the same thing when she's trying on dresses. She throws them back on the floor. She doesn't pick them up and hang them up. Even she doesn't have to do it right then. She could just do it later, but she doesn't. It just is on the floor. So these are things that I really just try to help you guys with because I understand that it is overwhelming. If I didn't do this for a living, if I didn't do this because I have such a passion for it and trying to help. If I walked into that garage yesterday, if I was, you know, an outsider and not knowing what I was already going to get into just based on what I knew, I hadn't seen it yet. You know, it is very overwhelming. Where do you start? What do you do? How do you do this? You're by yourself. Okay, you get distracted. Fine. I get it. I absolutely get it. But we got to break this cycle. We have to help. I try to help your mind be at ease, at least in that capacity. So enough about that, because sometimes I do think I am a psychiatrist. Just so you know, I was going to go to school and be a psychiatrist. That was my path when I was in a senior in high school. So I feel like I still have it in my bones and I may decide to get my master's in psychology. So I really am fascinated with how the brain thinks and the mind works. So when you hear me go on a tangent, it's just because I just have a passion for it. And I feel that, you know, I'm in the trenches. I'm seeing it and I see all the behaviors and everything. And I enjoy it. I want to help. That's all I want to do is I want to help and make you, when I leave your house, whether it's a one and done or I'm there for a month, I want to know when I walk out, you're really pleased with how it came out and it makes your life a little bit easier. So with that being said, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to say that I appreciate you listening to the show. I know every single listener is a number one subscriber. We have video now, so please check us out on YouTube. Please check us out on all the areas, TikTok, everything, because now we have video and we can just trailblaze, okay? Like, subscribe, follow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and I'll see you next week. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.